السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا مرحبا. A warm and hearty welcome to the program Covered Pearls with me, Zakira Ansarmia. This Monday afternoon, this program comes to you live out of the beautiful sunny city of Durban, KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. And alhamdulillah, it's great to be in your company once again this afternoon. So what can you expect in the program this afternoon, you may ask? Well, inshallah, what you can expect from our program this afternoon is, the program looks like, first up, we will have some ayat from Surah Nur that we do on a normal weekly basis, where we discuss ayat from Surah Nur. We look at the life lessons that we can learn from this beautiful surah. We draw lessons from it that we can practically implement into our daily life. And inshallah, this week will be no different. Thereafter, we will go on to our short but this concise segment that we have every week is a segment that has been something we've been continuing from the month of Ramadan. So yes, it is a small little segment that we have, and it's about the pious woman from our past. Sometimes we look into the lives of Sahabiyat. At other times, we look into the lives of pious women from our past, non-Sahabiyat as well. But today in particular, we will be continuing with the story of Hajar radiallahu anha. Having met some of you lovely women who listen to the program, the lovely sisters who listen to the program, having met some of you at a female ladies ta'aleem program over the weekend, alhamdulillah, many of you would have concluded listening to the story of Hajar radiallahu anha. But nonetheless, for those of you who haven't, today here on the program, we will conclude the story of Hajar radiallahu anha. And then in the very final segment of the program, we have two sections as well. In the first, we will speak about an audio, we will go through an audio ziyarah of Makkatul Mukarrama, Madinatul Munawwara, and for those Hujjaj, the various places that the Hujjaj visit during Hajj. And in the very last segment, we will do our female masail with regards Hajj and other female masail as well. So inshallah, that's what you can expect from the lineup of the program today. It's time for us to go for a short break, and when we return, inshallah, we will start with our program.
Please request a letter of authentication from all collectors claiming to represent the Jamiatul Ulema. Be vigilant. Establish the authenticity with our head office in Fortsburg by calling 011-373-8000. Jamiatul Ulema, South Africa. Serving Allah by serving His creation.
Radio Islam cannot guarantee that any business, insurance or financial institution whose services are advertised are Sharia compliant.
Invest up to 30,000 Rand per year in a Sharia compliant tax-free savings account with 27-4 investment managers. You can now invest in our top performing Sharia compliant unit trusts, knowing that all capital gains and dividends you earn are completely tax-free and have access to your money at any time. Grow your money tax-free by calling us today on 011-442-2464 or visit 274.com. 274 Investment Managers is an authorized financial services provider.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. On the authority of Abi Ruqayyah, Tamim ibn Awsin al-Dari, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "A religion is sincerity." We the companions said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "To whom?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "To have sincerity to Allah and His Book and His Messenger and to the leaders of the Muslims and to the ordinary people." Related by Muslim.
Lanija Muslim School, Annual Qurbani 2015. We provide the following: hygienic facilities, slaughtering, skinning and cleaning, storage and slicing facilities, viewing of sheep at Coogan's Farm from Saturday, 5th September 2015 onwards. All proceeds towards developing of the Lanija Muslim School. For bookings and info, contact Ibrahim Mutala, 082-757-5864, Abdul Samad Ismail, 082-857-5560, or the Lanija Muslim School, 011-857-1062 or 011-857-1221. Storage and slicing facilities will be provided at the Coogan's Farm.
يا لؤلؤا قد صان عفتها القمار بين السفور وبينك حجب الفخار يا لؤلؤا زاد العفاف.
Welcome back. It's the program Covered Pearls, and you're with me, Zakira and Sirmia. Yes, alhamdulillah, as we do every week. This week too, we will be starting out our program with the beautiful ayat of Surah Nur. Now, normally what we do is, on a weekly basis, I go through a few ayat with you, and we look into these beautiful ayat, see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in these ayat, and we draw lessons that we can apply into our daily life from these ayat. So today, inshallah, we will be doing the ayat from the 48, from ayah number, we will be doing this from ayah number 47 and 48 of Surah Nur. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today mentions to us, and He speaks to us about the characteristics of the munafiqun. And really, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us about the characteristics of the munafiqun, one of my ustads at Madrasa, you know, when we were studying the Quran, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him a really high, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the best of rewards, he would often remind us that, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the munafiqun, we should actually take cognizance and listen with a very attentive ear. Because despite the fact that Allah describing these munafiqun as being those in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the hadith, when we look at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that there are three qualities of a munafiq that even are present in people up to today. So when we look at these ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the munafiqun, we can't always be certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only speaking about the munafiq in the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. It is for us to look at these ayah and see that, do I perhaps not have any one of these characteristics in my life? And na'udhu billah, am I not living a life on the exterior? I'm living the life of a Muslim, but interior, within my heart, I'm behaving like a munafiq. So this is why we should take special, take our time and listen to these ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the characteristics of the munafiqeen in the Quran. Just making sure that we are not doing any act or perpetrating any one of these characteristics that would also put us in the category of being munafiq. So anyway, going on then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَيَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا. With their tongues they say, we believe. آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالرَّسُولِ. We believe in Allah and we believe in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَطَعْنَا. And we also obey everything. ثُمَّ يَتَوَلَّى فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Allah says that outwardly, what do they say? We believe, we obey, we listen, we have fulfilled all, whatever Allah and His Messenger tell us to do, we are doing it. But then Allah says, then a group of them, after having said all of this, a group of them blatantly turn away. And when a group of them blatantly turn away, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have to say about these group, this group over here that turns away? Allah says, وَمَا أُولَٰئِكَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. These people that turn away like this, they can never be believers, Allah says. Allahumma ihfazna. May Allah save us. May Allah save us. May it never be that with our tongues we say we believe in Allah, but our actions contradict this. Our actions that we do on a daily basis contradict this. The adhan is called out 5 times a day and we are meant to be praying our salah on time 5 times a day. But a characteristic of a munafiq, of a disbeliever, of a hypocrite would be that even though the adhan is being called out and is being called to the success of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah says in one of the lines of the adhan, Hayya alal falah. He refuses to believe in this and he believes that success only is in his business and hence leaves his business open and lets the salah become qadha. This is also a characteristic showing us that we do not fully believe. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us that come to success, come, we don't believe in this. We actually believe that at the outward means, this is what we believe in, that by having our businesses open, by rendering long hours, by missing our salahs, even though these long hours mean missing our salahs, This is what we believe in. So here Allah is saying that a group of them, even though they say they believe, they turn away. And when they turn away, this is what Allah says about them, that they cannot be believers. So may Allah save us from having characteristics of the group, of the type of people that will turn away, that after they say they believe, they then turn away. Allah says, قُلْ O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to the people, say to the Sahaba, say to your ummah at large, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ, obey Allah and obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا, for if you turn away, فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِمَا حُمِّلَ وَعَلَيْكُمْ مَا حُمِّلْتُمْ. Subhanallah. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say here? He says, that say to those who want to turn away, that upon them will be that which they carry. And وَعَلَيْكُمْ مَا حُمِّلْتُمْ, that for this one who wants to, turn away from Allah and turn away from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then for such a person, he will have to carry his own burden, right? He is only responsible for the duty placed on him. He will not have to be responsible for anybody else. That is, that Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this was the characteristic of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And really every da'i probably has this in his heart, where he feels that, you know, I'm calling people and I really want them to believe and I really want them to see this oneness of Allah, but somehow they choose not to. So Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, it is a kind of solace for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, on that person is that which he carries, this burden that he will carry, the sin that he is carrying for himself, it will be for him. So you don't fear, O Messenger of Allah. Your responsibility and your duty was to call them and tell them to obey Allah and to obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if after that they choose not to believe, then this is not upon you, O my beloved Nabi. وَإِن تُتِعُوهُ, and if they do have to obey you, تَهْتَدُوا, then definitely they will be guided. وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his responsibility is only to call, right? The responsibility of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only goes to a certain extent. His duty is only to convey in a clear way. Balaghul Mubin. So even, and this is what we going to take, this is the lesson that we are going to take from this ayah today, my beloved listeners, my dear sisters out there. That each and every one of us have a responsibility. Each and every one of us has been sent as a da'i. The days of Hajj are before us. The sermon of Hajj may be hung on our walls at home. Read the sermon of Hajj. Go to it, analyze it, study it. Look at the very last line that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. What has he said in the very last line? He has said that this calling, this message is now on the shoulders of each and every one of us. And inshallah, later on in the program, I will go through the entire Sermon of Hajj line by line with you. A synopsis of it, but inshallah, I will go through it. So, tune in later on as well. But right now, the point that I'm trying to make, or the lesson that inshallah, I want to leave with you today, that we all need to practice upon, is that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us all these injunctions, he called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Ala hal ballaght, oh Allah, have I not conveyed the message? This was in a rhetorical manner, obviously, saying to Allah that, oh Allah, I have now conveyed the message. And now, those people who are shahid should give it to those who are ghaib. Those people who are now present here should pass it on to those who are absent. He didn't mention whether we need to be male or female to pass on this message, whether we need to be young and old, whether we need to be healthy or sick. And subhanAllah, by not mentioning this, whether we need to be adult or child, by not mentioning this, in fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left this responsibility of da'wah upon each and every one of our shoulders. Therefore, my beloved sisters, my dear listeners, this responsibility is the responsibility of each and every one of us. We need to, even if it is maybe in our own homes, the domestic worker that is with us on a daily basis. Some of us, we may have to ask ourselves this question. This domestic worker is now working with me, and we may be able to say this with a lot of pride, that, you know, I have my domestic worker now for 5 years or 10 years. How much of Islam have we shown her? How much of Islam have we portrayed to her through our actions and deeds, so that it has taken a positive effect on her life? And has she decided to become Muslim then? At the end of the day, this ayah tells us that all we need to do is give the beautiful message of deen. And really, we don't need to beautify this message. It is already a beautiful message. Our deen that we have is already a beautiful message. All we need to do is we need to check our intentions within our hearts and beautify our hearts before we give out this message. Because by us purifying our hearts and beautifying our own hearts, by us doing this, when we then pass on this message of deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that it has an effect on other people. That it has this profound effect on other people. And people are touched by it. And they want to change. And they want to listen to what we are saying. And they want to act upon what we are saying. And like this, inshallah, when we give da'a, they too will be able come to the beauty of our religion, and they will want to also become part of this beautiful religion of Islam, inshallah. So like this, I leave you today with this message, that let us be examples of Islam wherever we go. In our deeds and in our actions, in our speech and in our character, let us show people what real Islam is like. When people are curious about why we dress in this manner, and especially with us females, why we dress in this manner, how it affects our lives, have our husbands asked us to, you know, dress in this manner, and I've had this many a times, alhamdulillah, then let's take a moment to explain, because we never know. The curiosity of one individual may actually be a door to this individual turning to Islam and leaving off their ways of Christianity or Judaism and coming to this beautiful religion of ours, inshallah. So with that, I leave you today, and inshallah, next week, same time, same place, we will pick up again from Surah Nur, and we will learn new lessons. After the break, we speak about Hajar, our mother, radiallahu anha.
Every month, the Jamiatul Ulama's Welfare Department provides deserving families with food hampers and aids in medical and rental expenses. Rest assured that your charities are discharged only after careful analysis of each welfare case. Forward your lillah and zakah to your nearest Jamiatul Ulama office, confident in the knowledge that your charities are being discharged effectively. Jamiatul Ulama South Africa, serving Allah by serving His creation.
Al Tawheed Islamic Center Qurbani 2015. A-grade animals available from 1,500. You may slaughter with us for your own consumption or donate the meat for distribution. We distribute meat parcels to poor and indigenous Muslims at various of our centers across Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and the Northwest. All proceeds will go to upgrade the Wheelers Farm Masjid and Madrasa. Banking details as follows. Standard Bank account number 202-566-889. Branch 015-137. Reference Qurbani. For more information, call 011-854-9510 or visit us at the Trade Route Mall shop number L31 next to Chelsea.
Sedgar's, situated in Vereeniging, your one-stop family shop. Get up to 35% off youthful, casual and kiddies branded clothing for the lovers of functional art. Try our Carol Boys range. Look in our exquisite furniture and linen department. Tasteful furniture, decor and advice to matching linen and curtains. Treat yourself to the beauty of designer jewelry, watches, sunglasses, and formal wear to suit your taste. Sedgar's, your original family store, where personal service is guaranteed.
Sunbeam Steel, suppliers of all steel products. For carports, gates, burglar-proofing, fencing, reinforcing steel mesh, and or your structural steel. We also stock roof sheeting in galvanized polycarbonate and fiberglass. For that fantastic rail deal, contact Sunbeam Steel. Situated at Main Clip River Road, Aiken Off. Call us on 011
948-6011 or 6013 or 011-948-7905.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is Zakira Ansarmia and we're on the program Covered Pearls. We are into the second segment of the first half of the program, and in the second segment, it's a rather short segment, but inshallah, what we wish to discuss is something of great importance, and that is, we look into the lives of our pious predecessors, the female among them, and we look at the very beautiful and salient qualities that we can pick out of these beautiful women's lives and inculcate into our own, inshallah. This is a segment that has been going on since Ramadan, and alhamdulillah, I've been having really positive feedback about the segment, so therefore I've decided to continue with it, and every week we have a few minutes just to look into a portion of one beautiful woman's life. Today we will continue with the life of Hajar radiallahu anha. We did this start this discussion out about 3 weeks ago, where I said that in order to look into the life of Hajar, we had to look into the life of Sarah, because Sarah radiallahu anha was in fact the reason that Hajar radiallahu anha came into the household of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And yes, being the days of Hajj, this is why we are looking into the lives of these beautiful women, Sarah and Hajar radiallahu anhuma. But today in particular, I'm here not only to conclude the life of Hajar radiallahu anha, but also to tell you that for next week, you can also look forward to something very interesting. From next week, we go into the lives of the wives of Ismail alayhi salam. Now yes, we've often heard about the wives of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hajar and Sarah radiallahu anhuma, but have we heard about the wives of Ismail alayhi salam? How many of us know about them? Well, that's what you can look forward to next week on this segment of the program, inshallah. Right now though, let's conclude that discussion about Hajar radiallahu anha. So it was this same Hajar radiallahu anha whose action was so beautiful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to call it among the Sha'air, chose to make it among the salient features. Now when we speak about the Sha'air, these are special and important actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses, right? And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses these actions, He puts it forward in the Quran and He makes it known to us that this is a special act, and for the special act there is great reward. Now imagine when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked upon this servant of His, this abda, this bandi, if you were to call it, if you were to look at it in the Urdu language, when he looked upon her running from one hillock to the other, up and down, over and over again, in search for water for her child, he must have saw this action to be so beautiful, to be so heart-rending, that he not only came to her aid, where he sent Jibreel alayhi salam to dig the well of Zamzam for her immediately, that even in the Quran, he spoke about the same action, and he said, إِنَّ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ فَمَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتِ أَوْ اعْتَمَرَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَطَّوَّفَ بِهِمَا. This ayat tawafa bihima, where did this come from? This came from the life of Hajar radiallahu anha, my beloved sisters, my dear listeners. This is where this came from. It came from her life. It came from the same action of hers when she was looking for the water. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved it so much and He made it as part of the actions of Hajj and Umrah. And your Umrah is not complete without it. Your actions of Hajj are not complete without it. Yes, this very act of Sa'i. Going on then, this was, if we were to look at this life of Hajar radiallahu anha in totality, we would definitely have to look at all the ayahs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions her in. Indirectly, yes, directly she's not mentioned anywhere in the Quran, but indirectly. And just to wrap up this discussion, when Ibrahim alayhi salam left her and he moved away, and she asked him, you know, why are you leaving us here? And then she finally realized, my husband is a Nabi of Allah. Perhaps this is a command from my Lord. And she then asked him, has Allah commanded you to do this? هَلْ أَمَرَكَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا? And some narrations say he managed to say yes. Other narrations say all he managed was a nod. And then she said, إِذَا لَا يُضَيُعُنَا. In that case, Allah will never let us go. Allah will never let us perish. Allah will never let us be destroyed. And subhanAllah, can we hear the tawakkul of this woman reverberating these words? Can we hear what kind of iman she must have had for her to make such a statement? But yes, even though she said these words, it was the dua of her husband that allowed this land of Makkah to flourish for her. And what dua am I speaking about? Ibrahim alayhi salam nearly made it to the other side of the mountain when he turned around and faced the foundations of the Kaaba. Yes, there was no Kaaba at this time, but there were foundations that were still there. He turned around, he faced this direction, and he made dua. And what did he say? Rabbana inni askantu min zurriyati bi wadin ghayri dhi zar'in 'inda baytika al-muharram rabbana liyuqimu as-salah faj'al af'idatan minan nasi tahwi ilayhim warzuqhum min ath-thamarat la'allahum yashkurun. Subhanallah, look at the beautiful dua. Now I ask that sister looking for a husband, I ask you, my dear sister, when we look for a husband, often we make this dua and we say, Ya Allah, he must have the husn of Yusuf alayhi salam. Have we ever stopped and have we ever said that, oh Allah, let him have the heart of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What a Nabi, what a husband he must have been. Subhanallah. How many of us as women can say that my husband makes dua for me in my absence, good duas for me, asks Allah to bless me? How many of us can say this? Subhanallah. This was the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where even after having left his wife and his child, he turned around and he made this beautiful dua, asking Allah to bless this uncultivated land where he had left his wife and child for no other purpose but to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this land, to provide them with thamarat, with all types of sustenance. And subhanallah, Makkah is the one place where you will see fruits that are in season and out of season throughout the year. So subhanallah, this is all due to the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But let us not forget, had it not been for the tawakkul of this mother of ours, Hajar radiallahu anha, many a woman would have not been able to tolerate the husband leaving them alone in this barren desert with a child and an infant child at that, with a mere bag of dates and a water skin. But it was the tawakkul that this woman had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that made her reliance only grow, that made her realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would definitely come to her aid. And indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did come to her aid. As the people of Jurhum then came and settled around her, the water being the source of the civilization, and that is how this bustling city of Makkah came into being. So inshallah, that's where we will leave the story off for today. And in next week's discussion, we will continue with how Ibrahim alayhi salam then grew up and subsequently got married. It's now time for me to leave you, and you will have an ad break. When we return on the other side of the ad break, our audio ziyarah. And today, inshallah, we will be taking a look at the last sermon of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and other sites that you will see when going on the journey of Hajj. And in the final segment, we will be discussing all your female masail queries. So stay tuned to the program, Covered Pearls.
الذي حج الحجيج لبيته ولبوا له عند المهل وأحرموا وقد طأطأوا تلك الرؤوس تواضعا لعزته تعلو الوجوه وتسلم يهلون بالبيداء لبيك ربنا لك الملك والحمد الذي أنت تعلم دعاهم فلبوه رضا ومحبة فلما دعوه كان أقرب منهم. يهلون بالبيداء لبيك ربنا لك الملك والحمد الذي أنت تعلم. دعاهم فلبوه رضا.
Welcome back. This is the program Covered Pearls and you're with me, Zakira Ansar Mia. This is the segment of the program in which we do an audio ziyarah with you, where we take you through places that you will visit when you visit the Haramain. So, today, inshallah, we will be continuing from last week's discussion. Last week, we stopped at Wadi-e-Muhaffar and we mentioned that this was the place where Abraha and his army were destroyed and also a place where the Prophet ﷺ passed over very quickly. Now, before I go on with this audio ziyarah and explaining to you about a few places that you will see in the Haramain Sharifain, I would like to encourage you that if you have any feedback on the program, comments, queries, or any questions for that matter, today's program or even tomorrow's program where we discuss the Sister's Guide to Hajj, and that is on the Women's Weekly program, please send in your queries to 061-406-2688, or you could simply drop me an email on za@radioislamlive.com. So today, inshallah, we start off with Muzdalifah. Muzdalifah is located between Arafah and Mina and is so named because it is a place where the Hujjaj reach in the darkness of the night. It may also have derived its name from the fact that the Hujjaj all leave the area at the same time, or because when leaving Jannah, it was here that Adam alayhi salam and Hawa radiallahu anha drew close to each other. Muzdalifah stretches from Wadi-e-Muhaffar to the Muzayman, that is the two mountains that face each other. Muzdalifah is 4 kilometers long and covers an area of 12.2 kilometers. During the farewell Hajj, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the Maghrib and Isha Salah together at Muzdalifah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed at the spot where the masjid is presently located, towards the side of the Qibla. From there, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Although I am staying here, you may stay anywhere throughout the entire plains of Muzdalifah." Now, in Muzdalifah, we find a masjid, and this masjid is called Masjid-e-Mash'aril-Haram. The masjid is located on the road 5, and it is at this location, towards the Qibla side, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed. Although a masjid was erected here to mark the spot, the Saudi government rebuilt and extended the masjid at a cost of 5 million riyals. The length of the masjid is currently 90 meters, while the width is 56. And this masjid can accommodate 12,000 worshippers. While the masjid lies 5 kilometers away from Masjid-e-Khayf, it is 7 kilometers away from Masjid-e-Namira. Now, if you listen to our previous discussions or our previous audio ziyarah that we had in last week and the week before, you would know where Masjid-e-Khayf and Masjid-e-Namira are located. Next, we go on to the plain of Arafah. The word Arafah means to know. After being separated from each other, it was at Arafah that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Hawa radiallahu anha met and knew who each other were. It is for this reason that the place is called Arafah. According to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anha, another reason for the name is that after teaching Ibrahim alayhi salam the rites of Hajj, it was here that Jibreel alayhi salam asked, Do you now know them?" And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam informed him that he did. Yet another opinion has it that the place derives its name from the fact that it is here that people admit their sins and hence beg forgiveness from Allah. In this case, the root word, which the word Arafah comes from, would be i'tiraf, which means to admit to one's sins. On the day of Arafah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the following dua in abundance, that is the fourth kalima, La ilaha illallah wahda, لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، بيده الخير، وهو على كل شيء قدير. Arafa is a sacred place, and it is situated outside the boundaries of the Haram. It lies 22 kilometers away from Masjid al-Haram, and there are large signboards marking its boundaries. According to a narration of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, it was also on the plains of Arafah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Today I have perfected your deen for you, completed my bounty upon you, and chosen Islam as your deen. This is a verse of Surah Ma'idah and verse number 3 of the Surah. It is at Arafah that the famous hill called Jabal al-Rahma, the mountain of mercy, is located. And it was here that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam camped and made special du'as to Allah. The roads linking Arafah to Muzdalifah are also very wide. It was in 1414 after Hijrah, that sprinklers were put in that shower the air with a fine mist. And these sprinklers have been installed in the vicinity of Masjid-e-Namira and Jabal al-Rahmah. They fill the air within 140 cubic liters of water every hour, making the atmosphere cool and pleasant. Approximately 100,000 trees have been planted on Arafah to create shade and a pleasant environment for the Hujjaj. It is in Arafah that the masjid is located in Namira is located on the plains of Arafah, and it derives its name from a little mountain to its west that bears the name Namira. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at Arafah, he camped here. After midday, he delivered a sermon at Wadi Urna nearby, after which he led the Salah of Dhuhr. He went to some boulders at Jabal al-Rahma, where he engaged in dua right until sunset. It was then after sunset that he left to Muzdalifah without performing the Maghrib Salah, and performed the Maghrib Salah only when he reached Muzdalifah. In the second century of Islam, a masjid was built at the spot where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered the sermon and led the Salah, because Wadi Urna, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered the sermon, is outside the boundaries of Arafah. That section of the masjid is naturally also outside the boundaries, hence this needs to be remembered when visiting the masjid on the day of Arafah. Extensions to Masjid Namira were taken place, and it can now accommodate 350,000 worshippers and those 6 minarat, each rising to a staggering height of 60 meters. Then we have another masjid. This masjid is located on the right of Jabal al-Rahma, and it is known as Masjid al-Sakhra. It lies on a slope and is above the ground level. It is surrounded by a low wall that encloses the boulders near which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam seated his camel Qaswa, and then proceeded on to make dua. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu says, after leading the Dhuhr and Asr Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam led his camel to a place where he would then stay and make dua. Facing the back of the camel towards the boulders, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left the path in front vacant for people to pass, and then faced towards the Qibla. He remained engaged in dua in this manner until sunset. It was at this spot that Allah revealed the ayah that I shared with you earlier on from Surah Al-Ma'idah. And to commemorate this spot, a walled enclosure has been built. The wall facing Qibla measures 13.3 meters, and the side walls are all 8 meters. The back wall is shaped in a semicircle, And in this book, Sheikh Bakr al-Zayd says that Masjid al-Sakhra is a walled enclosure situated on a level outcrop on the right side of the mountain. That is the mountain of Urna. This is on the southern end of the mountain and its walls are approximately half a meter high. Now if you were to speak about the Jabal al-Rahma itself, this is a famous little mountain in Arafah that is also known as Ilal Unabat. It is located on the west of Arafah between road 17 and road number 8. It is a solid rock mountain and it is approximately 1.5 kilometers from Masjid-e-Namira. And 168 steps have been made to climb up to the top. The top of the mountain is wide and leveled and there are 57 centimeters and there is a 57 centimeter high rim around the mountain with a 40 centimeter high ridge that drops to 8 meters on each side. The Masjid al-Sakhra is at the foot of this mountain and the canal of Zubaydah runs close by. Now subhanAllah, that's where we will have to leave our audio ziyara for today. Inshallah, you can join me on the other side of the ad break where we will then discuss our female masail.
Kurbani with Crescent of Hope. Once again, Crescent of Hope brings you Kurbani at affordable prices locally and internationally. And trust us with your Nifl or Wajib Kurbani performed by Ulama and Crescent of Hope members. Excess funds will be utilized for deen activities. Funds will not benefit any individual. Contact Crescent of Hope on 011-852-7370, 137 Rose Avenue, Linasia. Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spices. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Dana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanasia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
When you're after a trusted brand like Toyota, you want the same kind of expertise and reliability you'd expect from one of their top dealerships. Before buying your next Toyota, come in and speak to the professionals at Freeway Toyota. Whether it's a Corolla, Yaris, Auris, or Hilux you're looking for, don't sign up until you've spoken to one of our highly qualified team of sales professionals. We will not only match, but beat any written quote. Give us a call or come in for a test drive. 011-661-0000.
Where will the smart shoppers shop? At Honeybee, of course. Where else? Browse through our newly extended shop where you'll find that baking is a pleasure. At Honeybee, you'll find everything under one roof. From breathtaking floral arrangements, decadent chocolates, nutty parcels, appliances, biscuit boxes, and wedding and bridal gifts to please.
Due to popular demand, the sale has been extended for September while stocks last.
Honeybee, our prices is don't sting.
Welcome back. We are now into the final segment of the program, Covered Pearls, and this is a segment in which we discuss all your female masail queries. So inshallah, today we will be touching on the female masail queries with regards Hajj, Umrah and Ziyarah, inshallah. But at the same time, there were a few queries that have come in that I would like to touch on first from the listeners. One of those queries was from a sister. She asked if she could perform Salah, and this was on the day of Jumu'ah, she sent me this, that if she could perform her Salah while she was in the hotel Jamaat Khana, or the hotel Musalla, and she was listening over the speakers. Now let's understand, if the Jamaat Khana or if the Musalla is one of those that normally when the rows of Salah from the Mataf are continued, then it goes right out onto the outer of the Masjid, the courtyard of the Masjid, and from there it leads onto the street, and from the street it leads onto the foyers of these hotels. For example, the Hilton Hotel, Zamzam Towers, the Abraj Al Bayt, those hotels over there, then it is permissible for you to stand in that same spot whether it be in the shopping mall foyer, or whether it be in the Hilton Hotel foyer, and pray your salah, and inshallah you will receive the reward of having followed the imam. But we must remember that when we perform salah in the hotel jamaat khanas, and if the saf is not continued, and in most cases the likelihood of this is very slim, then the reward is not received of having performed salah with the jama'ah, with the imam. So therefore, we cannot follow the imam. So in this circumstance, we should rather pray the dhuhr salah in the hotel room on the day of Jumu'ah. And inshallah, if you can hear it over the speakers, that is the khutbah in the salah, then sit quietly for that duration and listen to the khutbah and to the salah being performed. Right. The other question that came in is with regards to discharging whilst in tawaf. Now, as I mentioned, and I suppose this query has come about because recently the Uswatul Muslima publication that goes around, which is a weekly newsletter, or a few times in a week this newsletter comes out, but once in a week it has a Q&A section. So in this week's Q&A section in particular, it had items that break wudu, and one of them mentioned there was discharge, the clear and cloudy discharge, the clear, the white, and the cloudy discharge. And in the program previous to this, I had mentioned that the clear, cloudy, and white discharge do not break wudu. If you would like that fatwa, I could forward it to you. It is by Mufti Ibrahim Jasai Hafizahullah. So yes, I did say this, and it is permissible for you to continue with your salah even without changing or without making a fresh wudu. Now, my sister would like to know that recently, due to this publication have been widely circulated, she happened to have read that this discharge breaks wudu. When I say this, I'm speaking about the clear and the white discharge breaking wudu. Now, there can be a difference in opinion. I'm actually waiting for the Mufti that put out this fatwa on this Uswatul Muslima website or newsletter to please return to me, and inshallah then I will be able to give you more clarification. But her question was as follows, that due to what I said on the program, she has continued making the tawaf even while she was experiencing this clear or this white discharge. And therefore, she would like to know if her tawaf are in order. Yes, sister, according to Mufti Saab, that is Mufti Ibrahim Desai Saab, your tawaf are still in order, as this discharge does not come from the inside of the womb, but rather from the neck of the womb, and therefore, the ruling on this discharge will be similar to that of perspiration from the body, etc. Similar would be the case if the sister were continuing with her salah with regards to this discharge, then so too will your ruling be that your salah and all of that would have been intact. Okay, then the next ruling is with regards to the head cover. Now, sister is asking, she says that she has read somewhere in one of the books that she needs to put on a specific, like a stocking or a head cover over her hair for the days of Hajj. And somebody has told that this is necessary, as the hair should not move out of place, it should not be combed, it should not fall or break whilst the sister is in ihram. The answer to this is that no, it is not part of the ihram that such a head cover is specifically worn, and thereafter the hijab, the burqa, or the dupatta is donned over it. No, there is no such ruling that you have to have an inner cap or whatever, but it is preferable to do this. Why do I say this? Because sometimes you may get a bit confused, and you may think that this is also part of the ihram. No, it's not part of the ihram. But why those that are experienced encourage us to wear something underneath is because whilst in the state of ihram, we should not necessarily have the need to unnecessarily have to brush our hair now, right? Because by brushing the hair, what will then happen is that strands of the hair will automatically break and fall off. Normally when the hair becomes a bit disheveled, the fingers are then just run through the hair and it is retied up or plaited or whatever it may be. So if you have an undercap or some women prefer wearing a stocking or whatever it is, it may help to keep the hair in place. But for those of us who don't like that fitted feeling and sometimes may even cause a headache, then simply to oil the hair with a little bit of oil could also work in the same manner and could also serve the same purpose, that is of keeping the hair in place. And by doing this, we will then not have to brush the hair whilst we are in the state of ihram, hence avoiding any breakage of hair from the head, right? But if while running your hand through your hair and you're going to tie your hair up or just because it has become disheveled, put it back into place, a few strands do break off without you having done anything to aggravate the situation, because some of us generally have, you know, hair that falls out more easily. So in that case, just give a few riyals of sadaqah and inshallah this should suffice. Then we know that the females can wear any kind of garment. So even if she wants to wear socks on her feet, this is also fine for the sister that is in ihram, because sometimes it can become a bit chilly when you are in Muzdalifa, etc. So yes, wearing socks is fine. With regard to talbiyah and the reciting of the du'as, we must remember that the talbiyah and the du'as that a sister recites must be done in a soft manner. Sometimes, you know, you can get caught up by emotion and the entire group is reciting loudly and now you get caught up with emotion and therefore you also start reciting audibly or loudly. Please remember that as a female, your voice is not supposed to be raised at any point during your Hajj or Umrah. Another ruling is, that the sister is asking here, is with regards to the hair. How much of her hair needs to be clipped every time she performs the Umrah or when coming out of the state of Ihram in Hajj? Just the amount that will be able to be wrapped around over one finger. So just the one finger, right, you will be able to, or you will have to wrap your hair over that one finger and just that amount. So it's like a few inches, right, that you will have to cut off. And yes, every time you come out of ihram, so if you make two or three umrahs and then your hajj, you will have to clip your hair every time you do this. For the sister that is going to be in the state of haiz, the state of nifas, or yes, the state of haiz or the state of nifas, for you sister, you can perform every other act of Hajj except the tawaf and the falah, obviously, right? Falah is not an act of Hajj, so I'm saying specifically the tawaf, as in the acts of Hajj. And obviously you will not be able to do the other acts like read Quran and read falah, perform the falah, etc. But when it comes to the acts of Hajj, then remember the only thing that you cannot do is the tawaf and the sa'i, the things that are done actually in the Masjidul Haram, right? So for you, you will have to wait to become clean, and even after the Ayyam and Nahar, these 3 days, the 11th, 12th and 13th, the 10th, 11th, 12th and 13th have passed of Dhul Hijjah, perhaps you only become clean on the 4th, become clean and tahir on the 14th or 15th, then you will go with your mahram or on your own if you can manage and perform your tawaf ziyarah and your sa'i. Holy sister, on the other hand, that is in the state of istihaba, she is bleeding, but it is not her days of haiz, then for her, she will be able to perform all the acts of hajj, despite the bleeding, because she is in istihaba. This bleeding is due to a sickness and not due to haiz. But obviously, for this, you will have to keep a meticulous account of whether you are in the state of haiz or whether you are in the state of istihaba. So please, do remember that keeping a meticulous count is very important here, because you don't want to have to perform your tawafu ziyara and miscalculate. You are thinking that it is istihada, but in fact these are your days of haiz. The engineer indicates to me that it's now time for me to conclude my program. So until we meet next week, same time, same place, please remember me in your special du'as. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.